series of holiness message. In the first message, we defined what holiness was. In the second message, we look at holiness from God's perspective. And holiness is basically just God's sense of beauty. That's why in the Bible you say, worship Him in the beauty of holiness. And from human perspective, we always see holiness to be freedom from sin and not having sin in our lives. But from God's perspective, it's not more than that. It's moving into the dimension of God touching and healing our lives. Holy Spirit is showing me that there's a person here who has a knee condition. And if you have a knee condition, if you come right up, knee, right all over the right side. Okay, it's so painful that God wants to heal you now. Before we go to the word, can you sit? Huh? Yeah, can sit there. Thank you, Jesus. And thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Everyone, just stretch forth your hands towards Glenn. We thank you, Father. We worship you. And Father, as your word commands, and as you said it, Lord, that Jesus took our pain on our body. Jesus does all these things because He loves us, not because we deserve it. And we thank you, Lord, that right now you impart your gift of healing and take every pain away. Thank you, Father, for your healing touch upon this physical body. And we command every knee joint, every ligament, every cell, every tissue in Jesus' name to be touched by your Spirit. Thank you, Father, your Holy Spirit. Your Holy Spirit brings the gift of healing and imparts it even now. And let this healing, Lord, seal upon this body wholeness, soundness, and let virtue flow forth from the top of the head to the tip of the toes. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Was she here for something? And as we look into holiness, I'd like to ask you two questions, maybe three. And so let's get some answers before we get to the God's Word. And things that are in your Christian life that you're wrestling with that we need to bring to the surface. First of all, we determine as we began in this series that it's possible to have victory over sin. So today we want to deal with that area. But I'd like to ask two questions. First, is it possible for a Christian to be free from sin in this life? You're limited to two answers, yes or no. Right. Okay. And if you're not sure, you can, you know, we won't embarrass you, you don't have to lift your hands. How many of you think that the answer to that question is yes, the Christian can be free from sin in this life? Okay, thank you. Now, how many of you think that no, a Christian cannot be free from sin in this life? Okay. And
how many of you are sitting on the fence?
I think most of you are sitting on the fence. But isn't it interesting that you have about equal numbers of Christian thinking both ways? And the whole majority, and that is probably what the statistic too if we take a survey of all Christendom. But why is there such a disparateness in our understanding of this topic when the Bible does talk clearly about sin? So where does the answer lie, then? That's right. So we have to define that carefully. Because, and can you imagine, one of the most important things about our Christian life is to be free from sin indeed. Otherwise, when people ask us, you know God and you live like that, it's no testimony to God. We realize that. And so, the reason why Christians don't have victory is because they have never dealt in those areas to know what to believe. Maybe not even taught what to believe. Because most of the time we just preach salvation as a ticket to heaven. And that's it. What about this life? The second question will make you stretch a little bit more. You have to think a little bit further. It's a hypothetical question. When we all are redeemed and Jesus has come and this earth is all completed and Jesus comes and we're all in heaven with Him, we're a new spirit, new soul and new body in a sense, renewed in Him, new physical body. Question. Do you think it is possible for us to sin still? In heaven. No. Okay. Your answer is no. Wow, majority. But since there's a majority, you're going to ask the other sub-question. Remember, I said two or three. If it's not possible for you to sin, then would you have free choice in heaven? Well, Clark, you say no free choice in heaven? Say yes here. Yes, free choice. Yes? Definitely yes. The rest of you, not sure. Now, if you have free choice in heaven, can you choose to sin?
Yes.
Yes. You're saying yes.
Yes.
If your answer is yes, then in heaven after that you still can sin.
I'm saying yes, but we won't.
I got him. I got him there. He's saying yes, but we won't. Can you? Now, that's where I'm trying to stretch your mind, your thinking. Our sister there says correctly, we have to define sin and understand sin. Otherwise, we cannot progress. See, all of you realize that, yes, when we get to heaven, we won't sin again. But I'm not asking you whether you will sin. I'm asking you, can you choose to sin?
Yes.
As long as you have free will, there must be a possibility. If there is a possibility, then it proceeds further, there's a possibility of another fall. Now, I'm touching a dangerous ground, isn't I? Can you see? So, surely God must have done something that eliminate the possibility. Okay, pure. Wow, we got the theological answer. Very good. She's saying maybe it's a purity of the free will. Interesting answer. Now, she had just given a little glimpse of that. Okay. But let me give you the answers, a little bit glimpse of the answer, then we go further. Right? Just to whet your appetite. To the first question, what was the first question? Okay. Yes or no? Is it possible for can a Christian be free from sin? Okay. If you read from Genesis to Revelation, the Lord seems to show that yes and possibility. See, the whole thing, the both answers lie in the free will. See, if your answer is yes, and then you answer, you can be free. Yes, you can be free from sin. It doesn't remove the possibility to sin. So, freedom from sin and the ability to sin are two separate things. And that's important to understand. Because some people read the scripture wrongly and they say, oh, the Bible has removed all our sin. I can sin no more. So everything I do is no more sin. And then they go to the opposite end. They're actually sinning. But when you realize that you can be free from sin, but the ability to sin remains, then you realize there is a certain walk we got to walk carefully. And the second answer is that I can just mention this. The way God has done something in our life is such that when you have been redeemed in Christ, the whole purpose why He has done it is to deal with the area of the hypothetical possibility of further sin. And we will explain what the area is. All I can say right now, answer the second question, is the redemption of Jesus is so great that he not only deal with sin now, but he hypothetically, not he didn't hypothetically, we hypothetically understand. He dealt with sin in such a manner that when we get to heaven, even though we are free from sin with a free choice, yet you never want to sin. And we will explain that further. But before we go further, let's bring in a few, I call brilliant men of God from history. One of those, another of my favorites, Charles G. Finney. You probably heard of him. He is the one whom God used in the Second Great Awakening. Powerful revival. And he is the one who wrote the book Powerful on High. And he's a lawyer by training. And so he sounds like a lawyer when he preaches and writes. Very logical. And when you ask, let's say we bring Charles G. Finney here to meet with you guys. So we bring him here through the book. So imagine Charles G. Finney. And let's see what he looks like here. Okay. right. Okay. You almost qualify except for your beard, right? So, let's bring Superman, right? Okay. Can you sit here? Pretend that he's Charles G. Finney because he has a receding hairline. Big giant eyebrows. Thank you. And a very stern looking face. Okay, thank you. Okay. And so Charles G. Finney. So Mr. Finney, what is your belief in Christian sanctification? And then this is what Finney would have said. And just listen to his complicated statement and I'll explain it. Can you read this paragraph loudly?
This one?
Yes.
It's all right. I'll be right.
Okay.
But since entire sanctification, as I understand the term, is identical with it, entire and continued obedience to the law of God, and since I have in lectures on moral government fully shown what is not and what is implied in full obedience to the law of God, to avoid much repetition in this place, I must refer you to what I have there said upon the topics just named.
Thank you. Thank you. You can go back to your seat. Now, probably for most of you, from the time that we began reading the sentence to the time it ended, you don't know what he was saying. What a long sentence. And so let me read just excerpts of his sentences to say what he's trying to say. But that's the kind of person he was. He was a deep thinker. And this is what he said. And said, Mr. Finney, what do you think about sanctification? This is what he will answer. And he would say, the term entire sanctification means a state confirmed entire consecration of body, soul, and spirit, or the whole being to God. Number one, the soul is entirely sanctified. He says, this is not what it means. The soul is entirely sanctified and cannot sin. He says, he doesn't mean that. But, he says, as a matter of fact, he does not and will not sin. You notice his definition. He sounds like a lawyer, doesn't he? He sure does. He says, when you're sanctified and you're holy before God, it is not that you cannot sin, but it is that you do not sin and you will not sin. That's quite an interesting choice of words, right? Now the only thing is, how do we put that into practice? Which is what we're trying to do. His second line goes here. Nor do I use the term entire sanctification as implying that the entirely sanctified soul is in no such danger of sinning as to need the thorough use and application of all the means of grace to prevent him from sinning and to secure his continued sanctification. such big words. But what he actually says